Welcome to Storybrooke.
Enjoy your stay.
Everybody, and welcome back to Onceable, episode 108, where we're going to be talking about Once Upon a Time, season 6, episode 15, A Wondrous Place. Tonight, I'm joined by everyone, Karen, Kristen, and Caitlin, after last week's smaller group of Caitlin and Karen. So how's everybody doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Good.
Not too bad.
Oh, good. Good to hear. So if you want to get in touch with us at all and talk about anything Once Upon a Time related or not Once Upon a Time related, you can talk to us on Twitter at Onceable or comment on this post on hyperbole.com. And to kick it off our discussion on A Wondrous Place, we're going to start with a thumbs up, thumbs down. Karen, what did you think?
I'm definitely going to give this one a thumbs up. I thought that it was really fun. I thought that it was very humorous. And a couple of the scenes, especially in the bar between the three ladies, really felt like old time Once Upon a Time to me. And I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. And how about you, Kristen?
I'm going to say a thumbs up. It was a pretty solid episode. And I got quite a few giggles out of some things, especially Snow and her Viking impression. So... I might give a thumbs up.
Awesome. And Caitlin?
I'll go with thumbs up. I mean, Rumpelstiltskin wasn't in it 2 weeks in a row, so it's like automatic thumbs up. So, works for me.
All right, guys, fine. I'll give it the thumb sideways because it wasn't the best episode of Once Upon a Time, and I think we're being a little too generous. So, I'm giving it a thumb sideways, mainly because of how ridiculous it was. I laughed so hard during some of these scenes, just because they were like, it just blew my mind that they are still getting away with some of the magic that they choose to use and the convenience of the magic. So I don't know if I liked it or if I'm just over that part of the show. So I'm going to give it a thumb sideways because I'm a little concerned that it's going to keep happening and annoying me. But for tonight, it was at least humorous. For example, when they needed Kraken blood and how do you deliver that with such a straight face? I just don't know. I think these actors are really working overtime.
It's years of the show first, and you get used to it.
And first, you have to look like Colin O'Donoghue. Then you can say the words Kraken blood and get away with it.
That's very true. It does help if you've been playing Captain Hook for about 5 years.
Yeah.
Let's get into our favorite quotes, and I'm going to shoot it over to Caitlin because this was one of my favorites.
Mine was just like this random little thing, but when they released Jafar, Ariel goes, son of a fish. Like, just cracked me up more than reasonable. Like it probably should. I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it felt very like good place humor.
Yes. Yes.
Karen, how about you?
Oh, mine was definitely from Snow, and it's when she's drinking at the bar, and she goes, I have a toddler and a sleeping curse at home. I need this. And just shout out to Drunk Snow in general, because Drunk Snow is my favorite Snow.
The Viking impression was so
good. It was
good.
So great.
Yeah.
And she's a good shot even when she's drunk. Like, almost better, yeah. Actually.
Yeah.
Kristen, what was yours?
And mine came from Hook, and it's when he was like... A shell phone. I have one like it at home. The shell phone gets me every time.
It's just beautiful. Couldn't believe how tiny they were.
Yeah, it is.
Anything bigger, it's like one of those things, like if you go to a boardwalk or like an ocean town and like you can get like 4 for $1 and they or like you're crafting and you put them on a picture frame. I was like, but these are so tiny. So my favorite quote was from Hook when they get to Hangman's Island and he's walking up and he sees like the tiki torches and he's like, I didn't expect to find Jafar in an off-season tiki bar. And I just love how over everything Hook is. Like, he's got bigger fish to fry, so to speak.
Ba-dum-ching.
Don't tell Ariel that.
I know. We are all over these puns. We had a very puntastic rewatchable, and I haven't shaken it off yet. So if you want any Buffy or Angel puns, I highly suggest going and listening to Rewatchable episode 207, because there's a lot. Some of them are not great.
I will be doing that soon, actually, as I edit it.
Don't worry, we pat ourselves on the back a lot.
Enjoy.
But back to Once Upon a Time, let's talk about some of the bigger moments of the episode that we brought to discuss. And I really want to kick it off with Caitlin, because I was really excited that Jafar was back, and I agree with everything that you have said on Twitter as well. So please kick us off.
So I was just in love with how much Oded Fehr as Jafar just like chews on the scenery. Like, he's a starving man, like just eats every little bit of it. So I was enjoying having lots of Jafar, and then I was very disappointed that now he's a wooden stick. It was like, that was it? It was a little disappointing. Like, it felt like there should have been a lot more to that than there ended up being. But I'm in love with Oded Fehr, so.
Me too.
Karen is too.
Keep chewing the scenery, please.
He's so beautiful. But it's okay, because just randomly stuck the Jafar walking stick in a random bin. So somebody's going to buy him, set him free, and he's going to try to take over the world again. Don't worry.
It'll be fine. It'll be another spinoff that no one will watch except us. And we'll have to talk about it. Because we've already had one failed Jafar spinoff. So what's another one? ABC's got an endless budget, I feel like. So it's totally fine. But I do want to talk a little bit about because it really stuck out to me when Jafar puts on this crown jewel, and that's kind of what he's after, because then he can get, his goal isn't to take over Agrabah, because Agrabah hates him. He just wants to get rid of it. And so he needs to get the crown jewel in order to do that. The way he gets the crown jewel is to marry Jasmine. So Jasmine gives him the crown jewel, but when he puts it on his very manly pinky.
Why did he clearly do that?
Didn't size it correctly, because it didn't even go all the way down. I'm like, the props department could have gotten a bigger ring. It didn't have to also fit Jasmine, because she never put it on.
It came out of a cereal box.
Yeah, or Claire's. And like, it's just like this big gaudy costume ring that didn't look like it was worth anything more than, let's say, Jasmine's like necklace that she was wearing in this episode. So I had a really hard time believing that that was the crown jewel of Agrabah. I'm like, hey, you could do a lot better, Agrabah. You have a golden palace, and that is your crown jewel.
I just really want to know why he had to put it on his finger.
Yeah.
It looked so ridiculous.
He probably could have just held it and done the magic, but it did look very ridiculous. And the point of him getting the ring was he put Agrabah inside of the ring. And Jasmine didn't know that at the time that it was happening. But when she made her wish, all she got back was the ring of the crown jewel. And it turns out that Agrabah was inside of it. Now she's just, you know, she was walking around with little tiny Agrabah. And it made me think of the movie Aladdin, where the genie is in the lamp and he's like, any living space, because I'm like, well, it's a tiny little living space for all of Agrabah inside that ring. I'm curious for when they are in Agrabah. I'm sure, well, who knows with the show, but I'm thinking we're going to get a little bit more time in Agrabah next week and figure out, you know, do the people know that they were shrunk down, or do they just think Jasmine left them and also the threat of Jafar left? Like, I'm curious to see how daily life carried on once they were living inside of a ring. Do you guys have any theories on that? Do you think they knew?
If Agrabah suddenly became an island and not stuck in the middle of a desert, like, you'd hope they'd notice. You know, because if it was stuck in the ring, you have to think, like, they were isolated. So I would hope someone would figure it out. But who knows, maybe it was part of the enchantment that they just didn't know.
You would think that Jafar, in wanting to get revenge, would want them to be aware of it and very uncomfortable. So I would,
that's true.
I would imagine that was part of the incantation in some way.
Yeah, that makes sense. And also the fact that Jasmine wasn't there would have to play into that. Like, she is responsible for it somehow, maybe. We'll see what her reception is like when she starts walking around her kingdom, as it were. We'll probably be spending a little bit more time in Agrabah in next week's episode because Hook is still trapped there with Ariel, who can... Don't worry, though. She's not trapped in the desert. The fish is not trapped in the desert because apparently there's a gulf in Agrabah that allows her to leave. So, yeah, this show, let me tell you, it's coming up with some doozies. I can't even handle it. So, let's talk about the ladies' night, because then we can also talk about what Karen wants to get to. Kristen, I agree with you wholeheartedly that we need more ladies' nights. We need Drunk Snow and Regina and Emma bonding and trying to make each other happy, but we need Emma to not be so sad the next time.
Yeah, like, I think what this show has kind of started to lack for me is the just moments of, like, when we first started the show, like, watching Emma bond with Snow and watching all of the different, like, characters have a little bonding time here and there. Like, sometimes it was a little more lighthearted, sometimes it wasn't. And I feel like we've lost a lot of that just in order to keep pushing plot forward and by giving way, way too much screen time to Rumpel. So I feel like we need more of these, like, you know, moments of calm where Regina can, you know, take Emma out and get her mind off of everything else and say, you know, let's just go have a drink and be girlfriends and chat. Like, that was a really welcome distraction, despite the fact that it ended up being Gideon and there ended up being a reason for all of it. Like, it was just nice to have a second to breathe and to see them as, like, people. Just seeing all of that made me, like, wish for this to happen for some of the boys, too. Like, poor Charming could probably use a night out with Archie and, you know, invite Grumpy, whose name I can't actually remember. And, Leroy. Like, Leroy, thank you. And, like, you know, let them have a boys' night and let's see them as people and characters, not just, like, the fairy tale, you know, incarnation that we know them as. Like, I want to see them, like, grow and see what's going on and hear them talk to each other.
Shout out to Leroy, who causes problems even when he's not on screen.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that these people know each other and they want to hang out. They don't always want to be in crisis mode, and you kind of forget how close they are. And we never get to see them just hang out and do something fun. Even it could be just like having a family dinner at Granny's or something, you know, there's just not a lot of bonding moments. And I think that they need them. I think they need to bond outside of crisis, because
that's what I was going to say. Like, annoying. They do have a lot of bonding moments, but those bonding moments come through this incredible hardship, and they've all been through their own struggles and they've seen each other go through those hard times. And while that gets you really far, like, it's also exhausting. And I think this ladies' night was so fun because Regina was, like, super cool. She was really upbeat. I mean, you have to remember, she's hurting a lot right now too, but she's trying to be there for Emma, which is really great. And then Snow is just exhausted by this whole thing that's going on, and she's trying to get drunk. And it's nice to see them be normal. It's nice to see them be not their superhero or their fairy tale alter egos necessarily, but just human beings. And Regina's hair was super cute this episode, which I really appreciated.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, they're constantly going from one battle to the next and fighting to protect each other, but, like, it helps for us to see, like, what they are actually fighting for. So give us some of those closer moments where they are close together to show the value of the fights. Like, it makes it even more purposeful if we can see, like, this is what happens when we have some peace time. It's nice. Like, this is how much we care about each other instead of just, I will fight for you and that It's all I ever do in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and seeing Regina have that moment of like, no, I'm really just want to check in with you and let you do whatever you need to do to get through this. Granted, as was brought up last week, this whole, oh my God, Hook left and now I'm depressed forever thing is like, it's really sudden and overblown and they need to just calm down a little bit on how dramatic it is. But if you imagine that it didn't just take place 18 hours ago and instead it took place like maybe 3 or 4 days ago, then Regina reaching out and extending that, you know, hey, I'm here for whatever you need. I'm here if you want to talk, if you don't want to talk, if you want to drink, if you don't want to drink, if you want to beat someone up, I'll stand here and block the door and so they can't leave. You know, like she's in Emma's corner. And I think that this was a great way to show that. But also, I think we just need more reminders. And I really like what Kristen brought up because I would also love to see a gentleman's evening out on the town. And I bet David is just as much of a lightweight as his wife, but he wouldn't admit it. And he's super drunk really fast.
Hook would take advantage of that.
Yeah. Hook would be like the DD, but also have 25 drinks.
And then they'd also do like stupid things like jumping over benches on the street or like, you know, the things that guys do. Like, I want to see all of that.
Again, and also it would be great if like Will could show up, but Lord knows what they're doing with that character. We'll never see him again.
I literally just went, who's Will?
I know.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like really hoping for that bromance to just take off and ride into the sunset, and it didn't.
Sigh.
Poor Will. In August, who knows what he's up to? We haven't seen him in a while, which means he's probably plotting something. Although, now that this, like, David thing, speaking of gentlemen, has sort of fizzled, I feel like, because we get at the beginning of the episode, David finds out about Hook, and he's pissed. He is upset. Emma is sort of like, let's go to work. Let's not think about it. There's other stuff that needs to be done. And
well, what I thought was really interesting about that is David's not really pissed. Like, he's upset and he's confused, but he's not like, I'm going to kill him. Like, he doesn't think Hook's evil all of a sudden, which I really appreciated, even though this moment went by really quickly.
Yeah, we don't get a lot out of him because it immediately flips to like, oh, well, he ran away. And so it's like, oh, now I have to comfort my daughter. Am I allowed to be mad? Maybe I'm not mad. He is my bro. He didn't really know that he was doing it. Like, he probably had a lot going on. And then, you know, they're in the police station and David's like, oh, well, I guess I have to go back to sleep because you need to go drinking with your mother. So, you know, we don't
get a lot. Which was so great. They're like, we know he just woke up, but can you go back to sleep now?
Yeah. And the way he says it, he's like, I just woke up. Oh, it's really funny. And I was going back to the ladies' night a little bit. I really enjoyed Snow being like, I have a sleeping curse and a toddler at home, but the toddler we never see. Like, you cannot use a toddler as an excuse. You have like a really great support system with you. Like, I get the sleeping curse is a bit of a drag, but the toddler is not an excuse. Like, you went to the underworld without him and you were fine. You talked to him on a ghost phone.
Where is that toddler?
I think he's living, I thought he was living with Belle for a while, but then she was pregnant, and then I thought he was with Blue, but then Blue is in this whole mess with Gideon, so maybe he's just like, maybe he has his own room at Granny's. He could be like 10 by the time we see him again with the way Henry aged.
I was going to say, they put the baby under a sleeping curse at the same time as Snow and Charming, so he just sleeps all the time, and Snow and Charming get up and make sure that things are still okay.
Oh my gosh, it's crazy. It is so crazy. Because also, like, when David was, like, on his, like, six-night bender when he didn't sleep, like, who was watching the kid then? Clearly, Snow wasn't.
Maybe Granny has taken up child-rearing.
He might start calling Granny Mom, so who knows? Look out for that. But in the bar, we met another interesting character, and I was really hoping that this character stuck around because the name of the character plus the bar name was such a great play on words.
Oh my God.
But Karen, take it away.
So as soon as they said Aesop's table, I knew that I was going to love this. And I did. So we meet Aesop, and he's a hipster bartender, you guys. He's a mixologist, and he serves artisan drinks, and it is the greatest thing ever because the whole thing was just, I'm going to embarrass myself because the whole thing was just very attractive to me. But aside from that, he was giving good advice and he had a relatable story. And then we find out it was really Gideon the whole time. And I felt so betrayed. Like, the real Aesop better come out and be like, actually, this was my bar all along. Gideon just took over for like a couple of hours. But really, I am a hipster bartender.
Ugh, it was so disappointing. And even I was typing up just an outline for this episode and I was like, Aesop being a mixologist is the best thing this show has done all season. And then like 5 minutes later, I'm like, or not, this show sucks. Because of course it was Gideon, because we can never have anything nice on this show.
I really want him back.
Yeah,
he's very attractive.
Tied up somewhere and we're going to get him back.
Yes. Also, Chris and I totally called the tear thing. We were like, okay, so what are they going to use Emma's tear for? Because they did that like close-up shot on the napkin and it was so obvious.
It's like, this is significant. Yes. In case you weren't sure and you missed it, here's where her tears got on the napkin and now she's putting it on the bar. Okay, moving on. Like, it was like, okay, guys, we get it. Like,
it couldn't have been more obvious if they put it in neon lights.
In case you've never watched TV before. It's the important thing.
Yeah, Once Upon a Time takes no chances with their audience. They want to make sure everything's laid out, but then give you the convenient shortcuts just in case you did miss something. If you were paying too close attention, then they get a little nervous. So the things they want to draw your attention to are the things you're probably going to catch anyway. So yeah, it was a big reveal before we started this episode, I was a little over the, you know, overblown language that's used around this show, like huge reveal, tragic reveal. It wasn't a big reveal. I mean, it was Gideon as the bartender. It's been done before. And he finally comes to his senses and is like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Maybe I don't actually have to kill anyone. Maybe I can just enlist you to come and fight the Black Fairy. Hello? Why wasn't this an option before? Why did he have to kill her? I understand he doesn't really have a warm upbringing. And he's not really clear on, you know, human interactions because he lived with a dark fairy for a rapid amount of time, like 27 years in the span of 2 days. You know, I feel like this was something that could have been weighed a little earlier than anything. But we still have that vision to deal with. So maybe things don't work out. Maybe he doesn't kill or Emma can't kill the Black Fairy or something happens and he still needs to kill her. For now, the option is on the table not really an option. She is forced to go and fight the Black Fairy with Gideon. What do we think of these two tagging up?
She's the savior. If you had asked nicely to go defeat the Black Fairy, I think she would have said yes.
Yeah, because she also likes Belle. Like, yeah, Rumple's involved, and I get the idea that you feel like you need to force people into things because that's what dear old dad would do, but you have another person who's part of your heritage who people will probably bend over backwards to help.
Yeah, blackmail not necessary. If you would have just come in nicely and asked, we would have helped. I'm starting to think with that vision, when you mentioned it, I've just came to me. With all of the people flopping, like body switching, appearance changing in this episode, I'm starting to think that may not be Gideon or it might not be Emma in the street. Mm. Like, one of them may be someone else because we already had that fight. It's just Emma was in different clothing. So I'm starting to think that maybe somewhere along the way, someone's not going to be who they appear to be, and ta-da. Like, that keeps happening. Like, tonight it happened with Jafar, and then it happened with Gideon and Aesop, and yeah. So I'm starting to think that it may not be Emma versus Gideon in the street in that final vision.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the only problem I have with it is that it might not be Gideon because of the fact that it's Emma's vision. So could they like really get away with giving us the fact that she's seeing herself but she's not seeing herself? Or maybe but I do think that they're really playing the card, the switching of bodies card, a lot this season, maybe as like a precursor, like the napkin thing. Like, are you paying attention to how many times we're telling you that people are switching bodies? Are you really paying attention?
Gideon can change his appearance at will, in case you weren't sure. Like, somebody else may have taught him that. Like, I could see it being the Black Fairy. Just throwing it out there right now. Like, that sort of thing.
Yeah, it could backfire. We don't know what their plan is. I do think that the preview for next week was... It gave me a little bit of hope. I'm into the fact that we're fighting so many different weird creatures, including spiders and all sorts of, you know, there's other pirates coming. And I think next week is going to be a good action adventure episode, which is always fun. It takes a break from the melodrama of, oh my God, my boyfriend left because he killed my dad's dad. We get the sense of when Hook's on board the Nautilus, he's already pissed that he was sent away from Emma once again. But he also seems to be like over everyone else. And I am just so into that attitude of his where he's just like basically trying to help Jasmine, but she's being so stubborn in like admitting that she doesn't deserve love and all this stuff. And he's like, oh my gosh, I can't help you. I refuse to help you at this point. He's like, if he could pinch, like, you know, the bridge of his nose, I feel like he would have, but he's trying so hard to just talk to her and make sure that she understands that she does have value and she is worth loving and she's not a horrible person. But then he's sort of just like, oh my God, when Aladdin walks in, he just like snaps and he's like, you two are so in love with each other and I don't get it. And just suck up your problems because I have it so much worse than you. Hook's just not feeling very helpful. And I was kind of glad when he got knocked out because then he didn't have to be the hero. He could just take a nap with everybody else and then wake up and deal with his own problems because he woke up and everybody's problems were magically solved. And they were solved by True Love's Kiss, which, again, he already told them was the key to their issues, but they didn't listen because they're both being stubborn. Now he's in Agrabah. And I just loved his little attitude. And I kind of forgot, I don't know if anybody else did, but I definitely did, that Liam is his brother and that like he's on the Nautilus. And I was like, oh, right, there's a sibling thing here. Did you guys remember him?
Yes, but I couldn't remember if he was evil or not.
He was a little angsty in the beginning.
Yeah,
but that's all I got for mine, was just I loved Hook's attitude, and I thought that his message to Emma was really touching, and he, you know, just sort of let it all out there, like, I wasn't trying to run away, and Gideon did it. You know, he's going to fight to come back to her, because just like her parents, he'll always find her.
I did really appreciate his, like, just impatience with people's games. Like, he's like, no, listen, I need to get to Emma. I need to tell her that I did not abandon her. Like, just knock it off. Like, here's what we're doing. He was very, like, pragmatic today, and I quite liked that because in the past, like, he would have beaten himself up over things he couldn't control and freaking out about it, and now he's just like, I know what I need to do. Let's just, you know, next step. All right, we need to find Jafar. Let's find Jafar. Let's go. Like, it was nice. It was nice to kind of see a different attitude for him rather than, like, just freaking out.
I like when he was yelling at Nemo aboard the Nautilus, and then Nemo was like, okay, you need to just take a breath because my ship is sinking and I need to deal with that. And he's very anxious and nervous, and he realizes what each passing second is doing to Emma. That's just weighing on him, and so he's very much a man of action right now. And I think the last thing that he wants is to go on a tour of Agrabah, so I think the whole time he's just going to be pestering them with questions like, okay, but when can I get out of here? When can I get out of here? Maybe they'll give him the carpet and he can ride out of there. We'll see. All right. Next week, the episode is season 6, episode 17, Mother's Little Helper. And it's going to be the first episode where Emma and Gideon are a team. And we're also going to see Hook trying to get back. And there's lots of evil to be tackled, apparently. There's a montage of evil. So until then, we will be available on Twitter or on this post on hypeable.com if you have any comments about this episode or what you think we're going to see next week. And until then, I'm Brittany.
I'm Karen.
I'm Caitlin. Sorry.
And I'm Kristen.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.